to welcome you to our service this morning in the Lord's name. Trust the Lord will bless our coming together in the Saviour's name. Do remember, please, the restrictions in the building. I keep repeating these, and perhaps you're still, or maybe even now, fed up hearing them. But we must keep our guard. We must keep our social distancing, following the exiting, as we've been doing. The baskets are the doors for the offerings. If you're at this front part of the church, you go out these doors. Again, if you're at this side of the gallery, either side there, you go out down that stairs. The front of the gallery goes out down the stairs you came in. So please remember these restrictions and to sanitize your hands as well. Even outside, I know people like to have fellowship, and that's encouraged, of course, normally, but we can't really in the building, and we ask you to go outside if you want to chat. Keep your social distancing, of course, but if it's good enough weather, you can do that in the car park, and people have been doing that. Do remember the gospel service tonight will be held in the church hall. First time we've done this, but to save the cleaning and the church, and we'll move into the church hall for the foreseeable future on Sunday evenings. Appreciate all the work that went into the drive-in services and the success that they were in getting the gospel out and encouraging people who couldn't come into the building as well. And we realise there are still people like that, but we trust that you'll be able to gather with us in the church hall. It's spaced out, it's been worked out, and spaced out with the chairs. It's much easier maybe with the chairs than the pews to do that, but that will be. And if you can, please keep in mind, don't arrive before 6:40. It gives the men a chance to get here, get set up, make sure everything's in order, and then you can arrive. I will be preaching tonight. We're going to commence on the Gospel of John. We're going to be looking at the Gospel of John, the miracles of Christ in the Gospel of John. That will be our theme during these next weeks in our Gospel service. We're to have the Monteith family, but it's just impossible for them to travel, and a group and all different families to come, so they couldn't come tonight, as you will understand. Monday night is our graduation commencement service in the Mars Memorial. It's by invitation only, as has been announced, but it will be streamed live on Sermon Audio and Facebook. Mr. Murray, of course, our student assistant here, he will be graduating along with others. There are seven altogether, four ministerial students, a missionary student, and then also two girls who are graduating. So seven in all tomorrow night. So remember that meeting and pray for it. Then Wednesday night will be a farewell to Mr. Murray here. He finishes with us. And that will be on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock here in the church. It will be a special retiring offering for him. Thursday night will be a church committee meeting followed by a session meeting. We'll try to keep these meetings brief, brethren, as brief as we can, but we have to continue with the church business, as you will appreciate. Next Lord's Day, family worship in the church, 11:30. Gospel service in the church hall at 7. Our soloist will be our sister, Mrs. Natasha Atchison, God willing, at the evening service. There are two issues of Vision Magazine, July, August, September, October. If you order this, you're on the order list, then they're available to you. If you haven't picked it up, you can pick them up in the vestibule as you come in or leave either of the services today. I think these are all the announcements. We're going to commence our worship with the words on the screen. We're not singing as yet, but we are perhaps going to introduce singing next Lord's Day. If there are no major objections to that, if you have any major objections, do speak to me or a member of session. A lot of people enjoyed last week while we couldn't sing, but I think some people were humming or whatever. But we're going to stand, and we're going to, as Robert plays, just follow the Psalm 121 through, please. Thank you. embrace it. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and our eternal Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the access that we have to the throne of grace. We thank you for the place where we can obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, as we come this morning, we thank thee, O God, for the merits of Christ and the blood that he shed upon the cross. Redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We thank thee we're found in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. Lord, we rejoice in thy so great salvation. And Father, as we come this morning, we pray for thy presence here with us in the house of God, that thou wouldst meet with us this morning, that the Spirit of God would come, and the power of God will be upon us as we meet together for worship. We pray for those who cannot gather or maybe are still too afraid to come or because of health issues cannot be here. We pray that thou wilt be with them and that thou wouldst encourage them. And Lord, may they receive blessing from thy word even this day. We pray, O God, that they may be able to link into the sermon audio later and listen to the service as it is uploaded. We commend, O God, thy people to thee. We know these are challenging times and continue to be so. For parents with children at school, for those going into university, those maybe already in university, those in the workplace, and those in homes. We pray, O God, for thy hand upon each one. Lord, those who have illnesses in our congregation, those who have sickness at this time, we pray, O God, especially that you would remember them and, Lord, that you would touch them. O God, that you would heal and restore to wanted health and strength those who are ill at this time, those who are waiting results for tests and being undergone. We think, Lord, of Eileen McDowell's granddaughter at this time. Remember Alice, and we pray for her that thou wilt touch her and that thou wilt heal her. And, Lord, that this young girl will know the healing touch of God. We remember our dear brother Carl Stripp. We pray for Carl today. Thou wilt touch him and that thou wilt minister to him and to Maury and to the family and for others in the church family who either themselves are ill or have loved ones who are ill or because of the circumstances cannot meet with us at this time. Lord, we think of them today. We thank you for those who have felt able to come back even into our midst this morning. And we pray that thou wilt bless each one, that thou wilt encourage our hearts from thy word, that thou wilt build us up in our most holy faith. We pray for a closer walk with God, a calm and heavenly free, a light to shine upon the road that leads us to the Lamb. Lead us to the Lamb afresh. Today we pray that we'll know the sweetness of thy presence and the nearness of the Savior. We ask our God and Father, you remember throughout our congregations, both at home and abroad, that thou wilt meet the need of every church and every situation. Bless thy servants who minister thy word. Bless our students in our college. Remember the graduation tomorrow evening, that thou wilt bless there and bless each student who's graduating. Those students who are commencing studies. Those who are continuing study. We pray thy hand upon them. We pray for those men who will now be available for a call. We pray for Mr. Murray who's been with us, that thou wilt lead him and the other men and guide them in the days to come to the place of thine appointment. Open doors for them. Remember the church's meeting to call this week. We pray for thy gracious direction in these churches. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt lead in accordance with thy will and that thy will be done in each congregation. Remember our land at this time. We know everybody seems to be an expert about, oh God, this coronavirus. But we know that it's still abroad. And so, Father, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt stem its spread. And Lord, if it's thy will at this time to provide a vaccine or another means whereby this virus will be removed, we pray that thou wilt intervene. We leave it with thee. Thou art in control. We know that the powers that be are ordained of God. We may not always agree with what they do, but we pray that thou wilt direct them and that thou wilt lead them. And Lord, to do those things that are in accordance with thy will. Answer prayer, be with us now and bless us throughout this day. And we be careful to give to thee the praise, the honor, and not to touch the glory. For thou alone art worthy.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're reading together the Word of God this morning from the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians. Reading together from this portion of God's Word. The book of Colossians chapter 3. And reading together from the opening verse. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. But now ye put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. For there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Amen. And we know that God will bless to us the reading of his inspired, inerrant, and infallible word. Now, boys and girls, we've been missing for a few weeks, so we're going to get started again, and we're just going to run through the story that we have been doing. And Samuel, and of course, you remember the story, if you can remember, over the lockdown, we were looking at this, and of course, we were looking at how Samuel was working in the temple of God. He was with Eli the priest, and he had this responsibility, and of course, he heard God speaking to him. And God was calling Samuel, but Samuel didn't know it, of course, and he kept running back and forward to Eli. And as he ran back and forward to Eli, Eli said, "I didn't call you. Go back and lie down again." And so he went back, and he lay down again. And this happened on a number of occasions. But boys and girls, eventually Eli realized that God was speaking to Samuel. God had something to say to him. And so he told him, "When you hear the voice again, then say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" And God told Samuel what he was going to do. He was going to bring judgment upon Israel because of the sins of Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And the judgment of God was going to come upon the land. And, of course, Eli, when he heard this, when he heard what was going to happen, and when he heard that the ark of God had been taken from the midst of Israel, he fell from the seat on which he was sitting, and he broke his neck, and he died. That time, one of Eli's sons, Phinehas, his wife, was bearing a child, and the child was born, but she died. And of course, the child's name was called Ichabod. It was a hard name to remember, boys and girls, but it means that glory has departed from Israel. Now, boys and girls, we're going to have a quiz this morning. So we'll go on to the... And if you know the... Now, I'm not going to ask you to come down here because of the restrictions, but I have sweets here, and I can give you them outside, and you can put your hand into the bag outside. If you wait for me outside at the steps there after the service, we can get you a prize. Now, who was the young boy in the story? Who was the young boy in the story? Who was the young boy in the story? Yes, Micah. Samuel, right. Now, you remember to get your prize. Now, when Samuel heard the voice, who did he think was calling him? Who did he think was calling him? Who did Samuel think was calling him? Somebody was calling him. Now, who did Samuel think was calling him? Does anybody know that? Begins with E. Now, surely you know that one. Right, Micah, you're going to get two sweets, right? Eli, that's very good. Two packets of sweets for Micah. Oh, dear, that's good. Right, now, what did Eli tell Samuel to say when he heard God speak to him again? What did he tell Samuel to say? He told him to say something. Speak what? I think your parents are sleeping as well as the boys and girls. Speak what? Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. That's a packet of sweets for me, I think. What had Eli's sons done that caused God to be angry? They'd done something that caused God to be angry. What, when we do things, what is it, Lucy? Sin, yes. That's a packet of sweets for Lucy. Right, they committed sin. What happened when Eli heard that the ark of God was taken and his sons were killed? What happened to Eli? Anybody know what happened to Eli? What happened to Eli? I told you just a little while ago there. He was sitting on a seat, and what happened to him? Yes, Lucy. Yes, that's right. He fell off his seat and broke his neck. That's two packets of sweet for Lucy. She's doing well this morning as well. Right. Now, what happened to Eli's son's wife as she was having a child? She was having this child, and what happened to her? As she was bearing the child, what happened to her? Yes, Lucy? She died. Oh, you're really doing well. You're up to three now. Three packets of sweets. Does anyone know what the child was called? Now, this is a very difficult name. What's the child? What was the child called? Begins with I. Begins with I. What's the child? What's the child called? Well, that's a hard one. Ichabod, the glory has departed from Israel. You did quite well, boys and girls, and of course, some are not back with us yet, but we hope boys and girls will all be back in weeks to come. Now, we're going to turn to God's word this morning. So let's bow together in prayer. But before we do that, we're going to have this chorus. We're going to say we're going to sing this chorus. We're not. We're going to have the words, and you're going to do the action. So almost forgot about that, but we'll do that before we have the prayer. And we'll go through twice these words, deep and wide. Do the actions, everybody doing the actions, and then, of course, we will come to the prayer. sign language. Well done there.
This morning. Let's come to the Lord in prayer and let's seek the Lord's face this morning. Let us bow together in prayer. Our gracious God and loving Father, we turn now to the preaching of thy word. I am trusting thee for power. Thine shall never fail. Words that thou thyself hast given me must and shall prevail. We ask it in Jesus' name and for God's eternal glory. Amen. Well, Colossians chapter 3 is the portion we're in at this particular time. And in recent times, we have been in the first 11 verses of this chapter. And of course, it speaks first of all of seeking the sublime in verses 1 to 4. It says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. And then it speaks in verses 5 to 9 of slaying the sin, of mortifying the deeds of the body. Mortify therefore, verse 5 says, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. And then last week we thought about strengthening in Christ, verses 10 and 11, and to put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. But now this morning we come to this section, verses 12 to 17 of this portion. It completes Paul's exhortation to the Christian to live a holy life. It continues the illustration of the garments. Remember verse 8? It talks about putting off. And then, of course, when we go down to verse 10, it talks about putting on. Put off the sin and put on the garments of holiness and righteousness. And often we have said of ourselves or of someone else, we or they are all dressed up and have nowhere to go. Maybe you felt like that sometimes. All dressed up and nowhere to go. Or maybe you've looked at someone else and you've said, they're all dressed up and nowhere to go. But here, we could put it this way. All dressed up and somewhere to go. All dressed up and somewhere to go. You see, Paul exhorted the believers here to whom he wrote at Colossae to put off the grave clothes of sin, to put off the old life, and to put on the grace clothes of holiness. Those clothes, those garments of new life in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the emphasis in this section is on motives. Why should we put off the old deeds? Why should we put on the qualities of the new life? In Paul's explanation here, there is the encouragement to all of us who are believers in Christ to walk in newness of life. And Paul mentions that in Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. The first thing here is grace, verses 12 to 14. The verses we want to focus upon this morning particularly. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. When we think about grace, we may ask the question, what is grace? Well, it is God's free, undeserved, unmerited favor. And the Apostle Paul here reminded the Colossian believers of what God's grace had done for them. First of all, we notice here in the first part of verse 12 of the passage, that they were chosen. He says, put on therefore as the elect
of God, as the elect of God, the chosen of God. When we go back to the book of Deuteronomy, and that passage there in the 7th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, in verses 7 to 8, it says there, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." You see, my friends, the miracle of divine election did not depend upon anything that we are or that we have done. For God chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1, verse 4. If God saved a sinner on the basis of merit or works, nobody would be saved. It is all done through grace, God's grace, that it might bring glory to God. The Bible teaches us there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And it ought to cause our hearts this morning to leap with joy and to praise the Lord for choosing us before the foundation of the world. We can never understand it, but we rejoice that he has done it. And we say, "To God be the glory. Great things he hath done." They were chosen. But then I want you to see also they were consecrated. Look again at verse 12. "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved." You see, that is the meaning of the word holy, consecrated unto God, or separated unto God. Because we have trusted Christ, we are set apart from the world, and we are set apart unto the Lord. Paul there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20, he said this. He asked a question, one word, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." We are bought with a price. We are consecrated unto God, separated unto him to be a holy people. Just as the marriage ceremony sets apart a man and a woman for each other exclusively, soul salvation sets apart exclusively the believer for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not our own this morning. We used to sing that old hymn in some of the meetings long ago. "I'm the property of Jesus. Satan has no right to me." We belong to the Lord this morning. We're the Lord's property. We're his children. Chosen, consecrated unto God. Wouldn't it be a horrible thing at the end of a wedding to see the groom run off with the maid of honor? It's just as horrible to contemplate the Christian living for the world and living for the flesh, living for the things of time and sense. The Bible tells you and I this morning, in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, follow after holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. They were chosen. They were consecrated. They were cherished. They were loved. You see, it says here, "Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved." What a wonderful word that is. We are the beloved of the Lord. When an unbeliever sins, he or she is a creature breaking the laws of the holy Creator and Judge. But when a Christian sins, he or she is a child of God breaking the loving heart of their Heavenly Father. And as a believer grows in love for God, he or she will grow in their desire to obey Him in all things, to follow Him in everything they do or say, to grow more like Christ on a daily basis. He has loved us with an everlasting love. May we love Him with all our heart and all our soul and all our mind. This is the first and great commandment. There's not only something here about being chosen and consecrated and cherished, but there's something crucial here. Look at verses 13 and 14. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. God has forgiven us. According to chapter 2, verse 13, He has forgiven us our trespasses. It says there in that passage, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses. What a wonderful thing it is to be forgiven. And you know, my dear friends, this morning, God's forgiveness is complete and final. It's not conditional or partial. How is a holy God able to forgive guilty sinners? He's able to forgive guilty sinners such as you and I because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. You see, the Bible teaches us in Ephesians 4, verse 32, that God has forgiven us for Christ's sake because of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not for our sake, but for Christ's sake. We are chosen, we are consecrated, we are cherished, loved, we are forgiven by God. This is the crucial thing. And all of these things, my friends, this morning add up to grace. It's God's wonderful grace, His free, undeserved, unmerited favor bestowed upon us. Marvelous grace. And because of this marvelous grace that has been bestowed upon us, the Christian, you and I, who are saved by the grace of God, have solemn responsibilities before God. We must put on the beautiful graces of the Christian life. And there are eight of them mentioned here in these verses before us in Colossians 3. And I want briefly to mention them to you this morning. Some people think, well, he's going to speak on eight things and my dinner's on. Well, friend, fear not. You've had plenty of time in the house the last lot of months. All of us have. It's good to be in God's house this morning. But we'll be brief. Bowels of mercies. What does it mean? Verse 12. Tender mercies or inward affections. As believers, we need to display tender feelings of compassion one toward another. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Paul said this, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. Thought is tender mercy. And you know, dear friends, this is not something we turn on and turn off like a light switch or like a tap. It is to be the constant attitude of heart that makes us easy to live with. Are you easy to live with this morning? Have you bowels of mercies? Have you this attitude that Paul is speaking to the church about here in Colossae? Tender mercies or inward affections. Then he goes on, secondly, in verse 12, to speak of kindness. And we often speak of acts of kindness. Kindness shown by such and such. Someone being a kind person, it's everyday language, isn't it? But the greatest kindness of all, dear friends, has been shown to us. We have been saved because of God's kindness toward us through the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, just over a few pages in your New Testament. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. That in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. There you have grace. In his kindness. Manifested his grace, manifested, demonstrated in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then Titus chapter 3. Book of Titus there coming in just before the book of Hebrews. And Titus chapter 3. And the verse number, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared. God's kindness toward us as believers in Christ, as those who are saved by his grace. And we in turn are to show kindness toward others. Paul said in Ephesians 4 verse 32, be ye kind one to another. That's God's command. Are you a kind person? Do you show kindness in your Christian life? One of the most beautiful pictures in all of Scripture of kindness is David's treatment of the crippled prince Mephibosheth. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, you'll read of that and you can read it later. David's desire here to show the kindness of God, the kindness of God to King Saul's family because of his own love for Saul's son Jonathan. And the young man that was chosen was Mephibosheth, Jonathan's son, a poor, crippled lad. Now, if David had acted according to justice, he would have condemned Mephibosheth, for he belonged to a condemned family, family of Saul. But David acted on the basis of love and of grace. He sought him out. You can read it in the passage there, 2 Samuel 9. He assured him not to be afraid. He brought him to live in his palace, the king's palace, as a member of his family, and to eat at the king's table. My friends, I put it to you this morning, this is the kindness of God. This is the kindness of God. And you and I have experienced an even greater kindness. An even greater kindness. For as Christians, we have experienced God's salvation. We're partaking at the king's table. We're eating of the provision that God has set before us. We are the children of God. And one day we will be in his presence forever in glory. And we will sit down with him forever. Kindness. What a wonderful thing kindness is. Have you got this quality of kindness? Are you exhibiting kindness in your Christian life? But then the third one is this. The third one in the passage here is humbleness of mind. Paul says, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind. Humbleness of mind. You know, the pagan would, in Paul's day, have no admiration for humility. Instead, they were interested in pride and domination. That was their goal. George Whitefield, the great preacher, said, let my name be forgotten. Let me be trodden under the foot of all men, if Jesus Christ thereby be glorified. Humbleness of mind. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the greatest example of humbleness of mind Look at Philippians chapter 2. Very familiar passage to many. Book of Philippians chapter 2. He talks about these bowels and mercies in verse 1, Paul. And then he goes on in verse 3 of Philippians 2. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but listen to it. In lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then he goes on to say, verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, you have the humiliation of Christ that's mentioned in that very passage. Humbleness of mind, lowliness of mind. Paul there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, he said, we're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. The person with humbleness of mind thinks of others first and not of himself or herself. Peter says, be clothed with humility. 1 Peter 5, be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. You ever meet a person and they're arrogant? Maybe you're saying, I meet them all the time. People who are arrogant, even Christians, who are telling you what they have done. Arrogance. No humility of mind. J.C. Ryle, the great Protestant bishop of Liverpool, he said this, of all garments, none is so graceful, none so well worn as humility. None is so graceful. None is so well worn as humility. May God give us the garment of humility this morning. Lowliness of mind. Then the fourth one is meekness. Look at verse 12 again. Meekness is mentioned there. And let I put it to you this morning that meekness is not weakness. Rather, it is power under control. The word was used to describe a soothing wind. Maybe you've been somewhere in a hot climate and you've been glad when a soothing wind came. And then it means also, speaks of a healing medicine or a colt that has been broken. Colt that was wild, couldn't be tamed, but yet it was broken. It was made to be meek. And each instance there is a power. A wind, you see, can become a storm. Too much medicine can kill. A horse can break loose and cause havoc. But this is power under control, meekness. Meekness. The meek person does not have to fly off the handle, because he has everything under control. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones said, to be truly meek means we no longer protect ourselves because we see there is nothing worth defending. We have meekness, you see. We have meekness. And Peter, in his epistle in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, he said, the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Here is something that is to be cherished. Meekness. Blessed are the meek, said Jesus in Matthew 5, for they shall inherit the earth. Meekness. And then he goes on here, Paul, in the passage, he speaks of long-suffering. Literally, the word is long-temper. Long temper. You know, the short-tempered person speaks and acts impulsively, lacks self-control. When a person is long-suffering, they can put up with provoking people or circumstances without retaliating. How we need this long-suffering in our lives. Of course, we get angry at sin, and it's good to be angry against sin. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's what the scripture teaches. It's a sign of holy character, long-suffering. It is wrong to get angry quickly at the wrong things and for the wrong reasons. May God clothe us with long-suffering. But then he says, put on forbearance. forbearing one another. Look at verse 13 of the passage. This word literally means to hold up or to hold back. You know, when we think of how forbearing God was toward us, when we deserved his judgment, yet there was the forbearance of God. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. It speaks of this. Romans chapter 2 verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering? See how they're all linked together there? Not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Again, chapter 3 of Romans verse 25. And Paul said this, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. The forbearance of God. How God has manifested forbearance toward us. How we need to manifest it in our lives from day to day. And meekness, long-suffering and forbearance go together, friend. They're linked together. And we need these qualities. Then he goes on to speak about forgiveness. Look at chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 13 again. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And this is a logical result of all that Paul has been saying to us in this section. It's not enough that the Christian must endure grief and provocation and refuse to retaliate. They must also forgive the troublemaker. And if they don't, the feelings of malice will develop in the heart, and these will lead to greater sins. It is Christ-like to forgive. Again, going back to Ephesians 4 and verse 32. Ephesians 4, 32. Be ye kind one to another, tender heart, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So there's the emphasis in Paul's epistles on this very thing. This Christ-likeness. If we're going to be like Christ, then we must be forgiving. The very instant we have a complaint against another person, we should forgive them in our hearts. See the process, of course, in Scripture of dealing with a situation where we feel we've been wronged by another brother or sister in Christ, another member of God's family. It is set out very clearly. I'm not going to go into it this morning, but it is set out very clearly in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 15 to 35. Forgiveness. And when we think of how the Lord has forgiven us, and that's the context here, how the Lord has forgiven us, all the wrongs that we have done him, all the sins that we have committed against him, ought we not, that's what Paul is saying, on that basis, to forgive others the wrongs they have done us. That's the basis of what Paul is saying here. Very, very important. Because there are some believers, sad to say this, they're carrying about with them all of these unforgiving spirit for decades of time. And some will carry it sadly to the grave with them. An unforgiving spirit. What sort of a testimony is that to the ungodly? An unforgiving spirit. We can all be quick. We can all say things we shouldn't say. We can all do wrong. If I point the finger out at you, look at all the fingers that are pointing back at me this morning. I put my hands up. We all must do it. May God give us that forgiving spirit. He says then, put on charity. Look at verse 14. But above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Here's the most important of the Christian virtues. It acts like a girdle that ties all the other virtues together. All the spiritual qualities Paul has named are aspects of Christian love. Look at that great chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
What a chapter it is about love. Read it. Let your soul be soaked in it. About charity or love. Charity suffereth long. Love suffereth long, verse 4, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, verse 5. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. How we need this charity. How we need this love. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, he said this: to have the heart glow with mutual love is vastly better than to glare with the most pompous titles and offices or powers we could have in this world. Again, he said, love is the very essence and life of the Christian religion. Love is the very essence and life of the Christian religion. D.L. Moody, the great evangelist, said, a man may be a good doctor without loving his patients. A man may be a good lawyer without loving his clients, a good geologist without loving science, but he cannot be a good Christian without love. Cannot be a good Christian. Love, my friends, is the first of the fruit of the Spirit, and the other virtues follow after joy, mentioned verse 16. Verse 15, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, meekness, all these are mentioned here. And when you go to Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, you have the fruit of the Spirit that are mentioned. And love is the first of them. The other virtues follow on. When love rules in our lives, it unites all these spiritual virtues. So there's a beauty and a harmony indicating spiritual maturity. We often use the illustration of the orchestra and all the various pieces, the instruments that are used in the orchestra. They all have to blend together. If there's one note out, it will not be right. You and I may not notice it, but the trained ear will notice it. And the Lord who sees all things and who hears all things notices when the church is not in harmony. May God keep us in the harmony of the Spirit. May God keep us in the love of Christ. And may that love flow through us to a world that is dying of sin. Love. May we put on these things as one puts on a garment. But maybe you're here and you're not saved this morning. Oh, let me urge you to come to Christ. Seek Him. Trust Him. Trust Him now as your Savior. Be born again of the Spirit of God, even this morning. The Lord bless His word to our hearts. We're going to have another hymn just at the conclusion. We'll stand this time and again. We'll follow the words as they go through, and we'll not sing this morning, but hopefully we'll be able to do that moderately next Lord's Day.
many people to come out to the house of God, and good to see those who maybe haven't been with us yet out again with us this morning. We appreciate that. I omitted to mention during the announcements that one of our ministers, a retired minister, suffered a stroke in recent times, Reverend David Gordon. So please, could you remember Reverend Gordon, his wife and family, in your prayers, that God will touch him and heal him if it is his will to be restored to health and strength. Our gracious God and Father, we remember Reverend Gordon this morning. We pray for healing, if it is your will, from the stroke. Remember his wife, the family at this time. Give grace and help and comfort. Thank you for thy presence with us and thy good word. We pray that you'll apply it to our hearts. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and evermore. Amen.